Get real advice about anything from two women who've experienced a lot of life. They want to share their joy and knowledge of life with you. These two women are young enough to remember and old enough to know. And now the Chat with Women Network presents About Happiness with Carol Bailey.
Good morning, everybody. It's January 2nd, and I've been thinking a lot over the last month about the new year and happiness for all of us. And for those of you who haven't listened to this show on the Chat with Women Network, I'm Carol Bailey. I'm a divorce attorney in Seattle, and I've listened to hundreds of people talk about their relationships and the things that did and didn't make them happy. And so I'm sharing through this show what I've learned from other people. And I've been paying attention to my own life as well and things that work and don't work for me. So as I like to say, nobody's an expert on happiness because everybody's life has cycles and ups and downs. But in my case, I'm paying attention. And when things aren't going well, I'm noticing what's happening and what works and what doesn't work. And I have a guest that's with me today whose name is Christy Mueller, and we'll be talking with her a little bit later in the show. And she's a person who also has been paying attention and studying what makes her happy and what works and doesn't work in her life. So she has a lot of wonderful things to share. As always, the structure of the show is that I have a big thought, that something I've been thinking about that I think is important, and I'll introduce that and talk about some news items, and then we'll chat with Christy, and I'll get her views on my big thought, because sometimes my guests don't agree with my big thought, or they have comments and things about it that I haven't really thought about myself. So the big thought today is, we must connect deeply with ourselves to feel in control and safe, and not continually look outside ourselves for help and answers. And I came up with this as the big thought for this show because I myself recently have been struggling with a variety of things in my life. And I notice the tendency for me to want to ask somebody else what to do or to find a book about the subject and try to read. And although I do think it's important, it's critical to get information from other people who you trust and to get information from experts who have written books, at some point you have to come home to yourself. And you have to look inside to find what really is a safe and stable place. You can't just constantly be looking outside yourself. So that's the big thought, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But just to put it out there for people to think about. And especially, I think that women tend to look outside themselves a lot for answers. Men, of course, do it too, but for women, we seem to talk a lot to other people and friends of ours, even people that don't really know very much about what the issue is that we're struggling with. And so many times, it's important to just check in with yourself, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. So I was looking around for articles. I'm always reading different periodicals and looking around for things that have to do with happiness and are otherwise newsworthy. And I can't decide if I was upset or happy when I saw that yesterday in the New York Times that there was a very prominent article called The Joy of Quiet, because I had already decided that the big thought for today was about connecting inside. And so I thought, you know, here's this article where they're really talking about the same thing. So the person that's writing the article is talking about the fact that we all have so much busyness in our lives, and that there, as they say in the article, there are more ways to communicate with less and less to say. And one of the things they say in the article is that the average American spends at least 8.5 hours a day in front of a screen, which I find incredible, because I am a person who has voluntarily decided not to watch TV, not to watch movies. And my friend Pamela Eakes, who is a great public relations person in Seattle and a very, very knowledgeable woman, she's always telling me that I'm culturally illiterate because I don't watch movies. And I feel very vindicated by this article in the New York Times that somebody else thinks that it's good to limit your screen time. But one of the things that was shocking in the article is that the number of hours that American adults spend online doubled between 2005 and 2009. That's kind of extraordinary that it doubled in 4 years. The article goes on to talk about people over time that have extolled the virtues of silence and being alone. And they quote Pascal, the French philosopher, who said, "Distraction is the only thing that consoles us for our miseries. And yet it is itself the greatest of all our miseries." And so we'll be talking about that a little bit later, having to do with the big thought and being distracted. Another thing that was interesting in this article, again, it's called The Joy of Quiet in the New York Times, was a quote by the great thinker Marshall McLuhan, who said, "When things come at you very fast, naturally you lose touch with yourself." And Thomas Merton, who is a great Christian thinker, said, "Man was made for the highest activity, which is, in fact, his rest." I love that. His rest is his highest activity, because, of course, there in that quiet space is where you find a lot of answers. And it's interesting that at Intel, they did a study with some executives and had them build a quiet time into their day. And at the end of the study, the people said that it should be extended further into the company because it allowed people to actually be more creative and focused in their thinking rather than these little bitty, I think that they found that the average American worker spends a maximum of 3 minutes without being interrupted. And so through the experiment that they did at Intel, they found that it actually increased people's productivity to build quiet time in. So there's a book that's called The Shallows that's written by Nicholas Carr. And in the book, he points out that after spending time in quiet rural settings, subjects exhibit greater attentiveness, stronger memory, and generally improved cognition. Their brains become both calmer and sharper. More than that, empathy, as well as deep thought, depends on neural processes that are uniformly slow. So these higher functions, empathy and deep thought, require an inherently slow mental process. So I think that's instructive and in keeping with what they learned at Intel. And I'm talking about all this because the author of the article says that being in that space of quiet brings happiness. And he says it's actually something deeper than mere happiness. So he's somewhat devaluing the idea of happiness and says it's joy, which the monk David Stendhal Rast describes as that kind of happiness that doesn't depend on what happens. So this article, and I'm sure you can find it online at newyorktimes.com, this article points to the fact that it's really important that we cultivate within ourselves the ability to find this quiet place. And the angle that they're coming at it from in the article is is more from a cognitive point of view. They're coming at it more from the point of view that it helps people think and helps people be calmer and more from that angle. I'm coming at it more from the angle of connecting with ourselves in order to find a place of feeling safe and in control. And the reason that I'm focused on that is because, as I said before, we're always looking outside of ourselves. And a lot of that has to do with our vision, our eyes. We're very reliant on our sense of sight. And that causes us to be focused on everything around us. And we don't really become familiar with our own internal geography. And so we have to cultivate that. It's not natural. It doesn't just come naturally that we're able to focus on our interior landscape. And most people aren't really able to do that. And one of the people that's quoted in the article talks about the fact that all of the problems in the world come from people's inability to sit alone in a room. And so my thought was really related to the fact that we have to make an effort to find a way to connect inside and become familiar with the landscape inside, which we're really, really not attuned to. So this is Carol Bailey, and I'm on the Chat with Women Network, and I have a guest, Christy Mueller, that we're going to talk to after we take a break, which is going to be right now.
Rochelle, and together we created Chat with Women Network.
We have an opportunity for you to be a star on our radio network or create your own video that will be seen and heard on chatwithwomen.com, your website, and YouTube.
So send us an email to info@chatwithwomen.com. That's info@chatwithwomen.com to find out more.
Sometimes you cherish quiet moments. Other times you feel like living out loud. At Raw Salon Spa, all you have to do is crave self-expression. We do the rest, from cut to color to styling, turning how you feel into how you look. Isn't it time you try something new? Your vibe is suddenly more alive. Visit Raw Salon Spa soon. Call today to receive a complimentary deep conditioning treatment with any cut or color service. Call today, 425-284-0404. That's 425-284-0404. Or visit RawSalonSpa.com.
Does your mind ever seem to have a mind of its own? If you'd like to discover ways to gain control and win the struggle with issues like weight loss, bad habits, getting a good night's sleep, or even overcoming difficult situations, find out why your mind works the way it does and how you can make it work best for you from a hypnotist who knows. Join Kristen on Mind Talk every other Tuesday from 8 to 9 a.m. live on KKNW 1150 a.m. Miss the show? Well, listen to Mind Talk every time on chatwithwomen.com. Visit mymindtalk.com for more information.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk 1150. Shower the people you love with
love. Show them the way. Welcome back. This is Carol Bailey, and I'm here today on the Chat with Women Network talking about happiness. I'm a Seattle divorce attorney and have been listening to people talk about their relationships and their lives for a long time, and decided to share some of what I've learned from other people. And one of the people I've learned a lot from is my guest today, and her name is Christy Mueller. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you, Carol. I'm so thrilled to be here with you.
I'm happy to be here with you, too. I'm always happy to be with you. First of all, before I tell all the listeners about you, did you see the sunrise this morning?
I did see the sunrise, and Carol, it did bring me a degree of happiness.
I drove over from Seattle. I drove over from Seattle this morning across the I-90 bridge. And when I came out from the first tunnel, I was just, wow. It was one of the most beautiful mornings I can remember seeing in Seattle. It was this beautiful rose, peach, orange color coming through the clouds and it was reflecting in the lake. And then Mount Rainier was sitting out there. It was just so beautiful. And I thought about you, Christy, because you live over the area where this beauty was happening. So I thought, I wonder if Christy saw this too.
I did see it.
Also, I was sad to learn when I came into the studio, Michael, who's our fantastic producer, told me that the Mount Rainier Park was closed. And I was just thinking, you know, here's the beauty of nature. Look at Mount Rainier sitting out there, so beautiful. And the park is closed because there's a manhunt going on for a survivalist that has killed a park ranger. So I was just like, wow, that's a terrible contrast, the beauty. And then you have this kind of terrible thing going on there. So blessings on the family of the park ranger that was killed. And I think we should send compassion to the individual who's deranged and has done that and feels some need to be hiding and running around and killing people. So compassion for that guy. All right. So we're going to move on to something much happier, which is to talk with Christy. Christy has a business in Renton that's called Mueller & Associates. And Christy is the most successful woman in the United States working for the company that she works for. There are 10,000 people who do what she does. And she is the most successful woman, which I just find so awesome. She is a financial advisor, which includes insurance, securities, annuity products, a variety of things that helps people organize and plan their lives and feel safe and secure about their future. And that's the thing that's interesting about Christy, is that what she really wants is to help people feel safe and secure about their future. And I love that about her, and her passion about that comes through in her work. She spent 10 years as a CBS reporter on the West Coast before she came to do what she's doing now. She was on the cover of Washington CEO magazine in February of 2007 because of her success. And she loves to meet people and gather people. So welcome, Christy.
Thank you, Carol. I've been gathered by you. I'm not the only one that likes to gather.
I have a couple of things I want to ask Christy about, because you don't become the most successful woman in a very large organization with 10,000 other people doing what you do unless you have some special skills. So one of the thoughts that I have, and Christy and I have talked about this quite a bit in the past, is that so much of what determines our happiness and how our life goes is how we think about things. And I think that events are essentially neutral, and actually people are essentially neutral. Not because if people were predetermined, then everybody would see that person the same way. Like every single person would like Michael and every single person would not like Mary, but that's not how it is.
Except for Michael, everybody does like him.
That's right, except for Michael, he's awesome. So since whether somebody likes another person or not, it depends on the person who likes them. It doesn't depend on who the other person is. There's nobody that everybody likes or doesn't like. So that's true of us too, that we sometimes allow other people's opinions of us and what other people say about us to determine how we feel about ourselves. And I think we all work very long to not take on what other people say to us and say about us as being who we are, and to be independent of that. So, Christy, I think all this points to the fact that our thinking, our thoughts, really create the reality that we experience. And I wonder what your thoughts are about that.
I was thinking about this. You know, years ago they used to say you are what you eat, and I actually think we are what we think. We become like what we think about, whether it's good for us or not. So I think it's incredibly important to pay attention to what's going on in your brain. You know that I've done all this training at the Pacific Institute. I'm going to borrow a little bit of what I talk about, because I've incorporated it in my life so deeply. We are what we think about, and we can think that our world is falling apart, or we can think we're stupid, or we can think anything, but we become like what we think about. So it's critical that we start paying attention to the stuff we're saying inside ourselves. I know for a fact, especially for me in the past, that if I had a friend who talked to me the way I've talked to myself in the past, they wouldn't be a friend any longer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so paying attention, it was actually a huge struggle for me to learn to pay attention to what I think.
Well, one of the things when we were together recently and you were leading a class about this that I went to that I found incredible is that there's so much data available in front of us. And one of the things that you talked about was we only select from the available data those things that we're looking for. And so if you're pre-programmed in a certain way, there's so much that happens outside of us that we're not going to see.
Right.
So how is that? It sounds kind of like magical thinking, that somehow you determine your future by your thoughts.
The best example real swiftly that I can think of is if you and I were driving in downtown Seattle talking, and Carol, we already know that you and I can talk up a storm. We could drive around in circles for days and days and days. But if we were in the same car, I'm driving, you're the passenger, and we're talking, and we have a goal to find a parking space, we would see all sorts of information. You know, we would see people coming out of buildings. If our window were open, we'd hear people jangling their keys in their pockets. We'd see exhaust from exhaust pipes two blocks up. We'd see brake lights of people coming out of their parking spaces. The point is that information is always, always there anyway.
Right.
But we just scan it out. We scan everything out except for the information that we're looking for. In the case of the parking space, we're looking for a parking space. So that's true in our lives too. I mean, if we're actively searching and thinking for happiness, which is the topic today, we'll find it. We'll find the sunset coming over the bridge because you're actively searching for happiness. But if you had gotten on the freeway and you were driving along and you were thinking, you know, about the guy up in Rainier, and then, you know, the terrible thing that your son said to you, and then the terrible thing that somebody else did to you, you know, that whole process could have consumed your drive here and you might not have even seen the sunrise.
Yeah. It's interesting because, and this is another thing that I'd really like to ask you, is that when you talk about if you're looking for happiness, that's so general. It's not a very specific thing. Do you have some suggestions for how you can break that down into something that's more manageable than just the idea of happiness?
Well, yeah, I think the more specific you are, especially if you can visualize it, because we're all sort of teleological in nature, you know, we think in terms of pictures. So if you can picture things that would make you happy and start defining those, I think that's where some of that reflective thinking that you were talking about last break is so important, is to stop long enough where you can begin to kind of sort out what really is important to you, do some planning. I mean, probably my life is... I probably should do it far more than I do, but I take two times a year, I take some time all by myself with a process that I go through, just thinking about what I want out of life. And of course, if I'm thinking about it, then we already have established that I'm probably more likely to see it and find it.
Yeah. So when you say what you want out of life, is it specific so that maybe the people who are listening today, this is Carol Bailey on the Chat with Women Network talking about happiness with Christy Mueller. And I'm wondering, for the people who are listening, how specific do you need to be about your goals in order to change the way you think about things?
I think you probably want lots of goals, and I think they should be incredibly specific. But I also think, Carol, that sometimes just a feeling like you have one this morning of coming over the bridge and seeing the sunrise, and you describe so eloquently the colors in the sky. If you can think once a day about that feeling and let it well up inside you and kind of fill something in you, it'll be a take. And you'll also, sometimes I think goals can be very specific. You know, I'm making this up, but I want a blue car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just a blue car, but I want a blue car with this grill and, you know, this color interior, whatever. I mean, goals should be very, very specific like that when you're thinking about achieving things. But when it comes to happiness, I think the welling up inside you, first of all, I'm quite positive, even though I have no proof of this. I am absolutely positive on this face of the earth that health comes from that. That welling up and that feeling of emotion that, for me, a kitten climbing into my arms and looking in its face. I mean, you know, I could just die right there and it would all be okay. So.
Well, the thing I was thinking when you were talking is that it is trying to pull together this idea that If you don't have a goal in mind, you won't notice and see the things around you that could support what it is that you actually want. But because you haven't focused on it and you haven't seen it in your own mind's eye, you kind of miss all this information that's out there. And I think your point is a really good one, which is that if you're focused on happiness and you're focused on feeling good, that feeling of inspiration that I had this morning driving across the bridge, then I will notice all the good things. And not to be Pollyanna, but I mean, really, every day we're alive, there's something good there. Instead of complaining about your back hurts, there are all these things that don't hurt. And, you know, I heard somebody say once, what you focus on expands. And so I think that your idea that the goal focuses your attention and helps you notice what's around you to support you. Is that, am I getting that right? Is that what you're saying?
It is what I'm saying. A good example right now is that I have my mother in town who you've met.
I have.
And I could choose, I think choice is part of what we're talking about. I could choose to look at this as quite a burden, and certainly it is absorbing an awfully lot of my life right now. Or I could choose to notice the special qualities of my mother and learn from her, because obviously she's got a few years on me, learn from her how she looks at the world and notice her incredible attitude toward the world. In other words, there's a huge richness in this,
right,
or there's a huge deficit,
right,
and it's how I choose to look at it. And we'll talk, I think, a little bit more about refocusing your mind on the positive part of it so that you can notice it more.
I want to ask you a little bit more about your mom, too, because a lot of listeners, I'm sure, are taking care of their parents. This is Carol Bailey talking about happiness on the Chat with Women Network, and we'll be right back.
Show them the way.
I'm Chef Terry Roturo.
I'm Jamie Piha, and we're your hosts for Table Talk Radio That Tastes Good. Join us as we introduce you to the tastemakers, winemakers, farmers, and chefs behind it all. Pull up a chair and listen in. We'll laugh, we'll talk, wine, and dine, all while bringing you the latest dish about the culinary city we love and live in.
Tune in the second and fourth Wednesday of every month from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on KKNW 1150 a.m. And join us anytime at tabletalkradio.net, where food tastes good and gets better by the minute.
Wake up to longer, thicker, and more beautiful lashes every day from Wink Lash Extensions. Lash extensions extend your own eyelashes for a beautiful and natural look and feel without the need for mascara. Enjoy the benefits of weightless, painless, and water-resistant lash extensions that are perfect for special occasions or everyday wear from Wink Lash Extensions. Call 206-909-1994. For more information and to make an appointment.
Hi, I'm Pam.
And I'm Rochelle of the Chat with Women Network.
And we are here to remind you to listen to our experts Monday through Friday from 6 to 7 and 8 to 9 a.m. Our experts will share with you their knowledge about life, believing in yourself, kindness, fashion, food and wine, and much more. Join us every weekday to learn, grow, change your lives, and have some fun.
If you want to hear the show again and again, go to chatwithwomen.com. That's That's chatwithwomen.com.
This is Pam Christensen with Staging for Charisma. When I want to find the best service and the highest quality brands in custom window fashions, I go to Accents and Interiors. Their design specialists will help you make your home beautiful and functional. They're there to provide the perfect window covering solutions. Call Accents and Interiors at 425-368-1300 to make an appointment with your own design specialist. That's Accents and Interiors at 425-368-1300.
Ahead of the talk radio curve, naturally. Alternative Talk 1150.
Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way.
This is Carol Bailey, and we're talking about happiness on the Chat with Women Network with my guest, Christy Mueller, who's a person that I've come to know quite well and see how what we're talking about today, the power of what you think about determines your life, really your experience of life. So we ended before the break talking about Christy's mother and the fact that her mom's here in the Seattle area, and she could see it as a negative and a burden, but she's choosing to understand the richness of the experience, right, Christy?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just been a phenomenal experience.
Well, and I think for so many people that take care of their parents, that it can be. I mean, it is a real drain on your time. But so many people I know after the fact have told me that the fact they were able to take care of their parent and really be there for them was one of the richest experiences that they've ever had.
I think for me, I spend a lot of time thinking about that, kind of in advance thinking, okay, 10 years from now, as I look back on this period, how will I view it? And then when I've got that picture, so to speak, of the richness and how it allowed me to become an even better person,
right,
and the joy of those memories that we will have, then I'm trying to have that attitude in the here and now. Because what a shame to, you know, just consider it a grind right now, and then in the future look back and go, well, that was rich. I mean, why not just see it rich now?
Right. Enjoy it now.
Right.
So I want to go back just a little bit to the kind of key thought here, which is that the way we think about things determines what we will see around us, which determines what our experience of things will be. And to try to make that a little more concrete, because it sounds like kind of an abstract thing, but it's happening for all of us all the time.
Right.
So one of the things I was thinking about is just self-image and how we view ourselves will determine the people that we associate with.
Right.
And it will determine how we interpret things around us. And I'm thinking of a friend of mine I was talking to over the weekend, and she kept telling me, I don't understand why my granddaughter is always picking these bad men. And the granddaughter actually grew up in a kind of abusive home where there was a lot of drug abuse going on and emotional neglect of the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think her granddaughter has a good view of herself as valuable and important and worthy. And so that's why I think her granddaughter keeps picking bad men, is because, one, she doesn't see good men when they walk past her. And two, she doesn't see herself as being a person who that good man might be interested in.
Of course.
So she just selects them out of the picture.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is that how it works?
It is totally how it works. That's why you said a little earlier in the show that it's so important to be careful who you're letting tell you what you're like, right?
Yes.
Because if you're around somebody who has poor self-esteem, they will put everybody else down, right?
Right.
In order to kind of bring themselves up. So, you know, once you start becoming selective about who you're listening to tell you who you are, you'll realize that there are a lot of people out there that are trying to bring you down in order to bring themselves up.
Right. So, I mean, everybody, I think, which is why nobody really should ever feel they're above anybody else,
yes,
is that everybody has limiting thoughts about something. And so how do you go about knowing? I mean, when you're a person that doesn't have a good sense of self, you don't even know that. You know, you don't really know I don't like myself.
Right.
You just are living out this story that's going on kind of subconsciously in your mind, but you keep having all these bad events happen and things don't work out for you and you have broken relationships and things, you know, problems with your children and just all these things. And so how can we come to know what it is we really think about ourselves?
Well, I think this is the hardest part, and I hate to use that word hardest part, but I think the biggest challenge is the awareness of capturing your thoughts. I mean, you've heard me talk about when I was somebody told me once to start capturing my self-talk. And your subconscious is just a little sneaky, creepy thing. You know, it'll try to keep you the way you are. That's the job of our subconscious. And so I drove 30 miles trying to capture a piece of self-talk one day. I mean, this is my first go at this. This was 25, 30 years ago. And it kind of went like this. I'm driving up I-5 toward Edmonds from downtown Seattle, and I'm thinking, what am I thinking? And the answer was, nothing. And then I drove a little bit further, and I thought, what am I thinking? And the answer was, nothing. And I thought, wow, I'm really blonde. You know, I'm an empty-headed person. And that went on the entire evening, and now I'm driving back in the next morning, and I'm thinking, what was I thinking? And I finally captured a piece of thought. And the thought was, is I'm late. And then I realized, I mean, it was like this lightning bolt. I'm late was my thought. And I think that all the time. And I validate it with everything I do. And I actually make myself late in order to keep myself the way I am. And so that was the first attempt I had at really capturing what I was thinking about myself. And of course, as I was thinking it, I was recreating it again and again and again.
Right.
So it's that, you know, you started talking, I think, about that awareness and getting some personal reflective time and putting it down. You know, I mean, if you're having, I think, a problem in your life that seems to be repeating itself, journaling, I think, can be a great way of starting to think, why, you know, why am I drawing this into my life again and again and again?
How do you journal? I've never really done that. I've had a lot of people, you know, suggest that to me. But for some listeners that might be interested, how do you journal? What do you do when you journal?
Well, you're probably not talking to the very best journaler in the world, but I do keep a blank book by my bed. And as I'm going to sleep, I'll just put down some thoughts. A lot of things come from my mother, and I'm glad to be capturing those right now, where she'll tell me, you know, I'm the smartest person on the face of the earth, or she'll tell me she's really proud of something I've done. And I write it down, and, you know, every time you're reviewing one of those thoughts with all the love and passion, all the good stuff behind it, and you're reviewing it, you're doing a take inside yourself, and you're building the strength in that area, going back to who you don't want to listen to. I mean, why do we women always say to the men around us, you know, how do I look? I mean, not that we don't, you know, appreciate them telling us, but why do we let them define, you know, if they say our butts are big, you know, do we, oh, we've got to change our pants.
I mean, right.
Why do we let people define how we look and how we see ourselves? That should be coming from inside. That's what reflective thinking and journaling is about.
Well, and one of the things for me that it's a mystery of life, really, is that we have this whole subconscious conversation going on all the time.
Yeah.
We're thinking all the time.
Right.
Whether we're aware of it or we're not, we're doing it. And so one of the things that I have found really helpful is to say to myself a positive affirmation. And the way you know what you're thinking is that you push back against the affirmation. Like, I remember this was a long, long time ago. I think it was like 1985 or something like that. And so I started with this positive affirmation, which was, I love and approve of myself exactly as I am. And my first response to that was, that is so silly.
Right.
It wasn't, it's not true, but it was just like, why would you even say something that stupid? That's just kind of a stupid thing.
Right. When inside it causes you to almost chuckle and say, oh, really?
Right. You know, and I had this kind of pushback. Well, and I also had this pushback that the process of telling myself that is silly. And so it wasn't just that the content of the statement, but just the fact that I would do it was silly. And so I started thinking about that. Like, really? Is it silly to tell yourself that? No, it's not silly.
That's right.
And I'm having a lot of resistance to this.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the things that people might be able to do is to come up with a set of beliefs that they would really love to have about themselves, and then try those out by telling yourself that that is true of you right now.
Right, and which is an affirmation.
Which is an affirmation, mm-hmm. is to tell yourself that, that aspiration you have is true right now,
right.
and to see how much you push back against it.
Right.
Or whether you say, yes, that's me. That's
yes.
me.
Yeah.
You know, yes, that's me. Or you go, not so much, you know, I don't think so.
And I think that's very insightful. I think that as you say these things over and over and over again, what was your kind of affirmation?
I love and approve of myself exactly as I am.
So as you do it more and more and more, it starts replacing you. You know, you quit giggling at it. And then pretty soon you think, well, that might be true of me. And then you think, oh, that is true of me. And then all of a sudden you're living that.
Right.
And that's kind of how you get past some of the big struggles of, you know, the childhood learning that you were talking about the girl having some, you know, a lot of bad
right.
self-esteem.
Right. And this raises a really important point for me, which is that in our culture, we've kind of accepted that we have to go through therapy and look into our childhoods to change our negative thinking. But for so many people, therapy doesn't work. It works for some people, but for other people, even if they know that they had a critical mother, it doesn't help them, and nothing changes.
Because the past is the past.
And it's stuck inside of them.
Yeah.
And so you have to somehow replace that internal dialogue and how you see yourself, so that instead of giggling and I love and approve of myself exactly as I am, that you're actually walking with that. Like, I believe that about my, and now I would say, I do believe that about myself. I no longer have like harsh, critical judgments about myself that I used to have, just because looking at the resistance I had made me realize I don't feel that way.
Exactly. I have a girlfriend who talked about an affirmation that she had that said, I have a brilliant intellect. And she said every time she said it, she had to giggle. I mean, you know, it was just like, come on.
Right.
My whole life people have been telling me I'm not very smart. I'm not
right.
very smart. And of course, then she's reaffirming it to herself. And then as you pointed out earlier, she goes out every day, and when something stupid happens and she drops her keys, she says to herself, God, I'm not very smart.
Right.
And then you start trying to say, I have a brilliant intellect. And inside you're going, I don't think so.
Right.
I've been told
right.
for 32 years. Not
right.
so much,
right.
but if you keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it, and of course you want to, you know, you've learned some of this, you want to say it in the morning when you first wake up, and in the evening when you go to bed, because that's when you're most susceptible to placing those thoughts in your brain and having them replace the old programming.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, you know, she'll wake up one morning and say, I have a brilliant intellect. And she'll sit up in bed and she'll go, darn, that's right. I'm so smart. How did I ever not notice this?
Right, exactly. We're going to come back in just a minute. We could talk for about 5 hours about all this. This is Carol Bailey, and we're talking about happiness on the Chat with Women Network, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Pam.
And I'm Rochelle, and we've created the Chat with Women Network.
Do you have a burning desire to be a star? Are you interested in sharing your voice to thousands of listeners? Email us at info@chatwithwomen.com and find out how we can make that happen.
Join us on the Chat with Women Network, and you will be seen and heard worldwide. So email us at info@chatwithwomen.com. That's info@chatwithwomen.com.
It's uncertain where healthcare in America is going, so there's only one way to keep yourself out of the doctor's office. And that, my friends, is to take personal responsibility for your health and wellness by calling My Chef by Request. Tom Hutler here. I've always had some excess weight to lose, and getting type 2 diabetes in my later years is something I want to avoid. I discovered My Chef by Request. They deliver fresh, gourmet, delicious meals to my doorstep every day, designed to help me lose weight. You heard me right. They deliver fresh daily. My Chef by Request combines the right proteins, carbohydrates, and favorable fats to balance your insulin levels. That's the key. Many people lose 2 to 5 pounds in their first week. I lost 7 pounds in the first 4 days, and I'm way more energetic. The menu's incredible. The food's delicious. And My Chef by Request even provides a personal consultant who answers all my questions and gives me encouragement. Take control of your personal healthcare future. Call My Chef by Request today and get 2 free days of service with your first 14-day program. It's the best investment I have ever made in myself. These are local folks, so call them today. 877-878-5777 or visit MyChefByRequest.com. That's MyChefByRequest.com.
For 4 years, Ra Salon Spa has joined hands with families in Nepal to sustain real change among papermaking communities, improving lives through forest enterprises. Our purchase of sustainably grown, handcrafted paper from Nepal, which covers all of our gifts, helps improve lives there, helping support 1,000 families and preserve 35,000 acres in the Himalayas, bringing the spirit of the season closer. Can't choose? Give a Ra Salon Spa gift card. Call today, 425-284-0404, or visit rasalonspa.com.
Listen to Andrea Ward to find out how to strut in your signature style. Walk the catwalk with confidence, polish, and pizzazz. Sport your own collection. Learn to love your clothes. Adore fashion. Be in the know. And want to know it all and all the scoops that are hot and maybe not. Listen to the voice of fashion the second and Tuesday of every month. Or go to AndreaWardrobe.com. That's AndreaWardrobe.com.
Time for something different. Time for Alternative Talk 1150.
Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way.
This is Carol Bailey on the Chat with Women Network, and I'm talking about happiness today with Christy Mueller. And what we've been talking about is that the way that we think about things determines our experience, which is kind of huge. But it's true that the way we think about things determines what we will see. Out of all the things that are available to see and what we focus on, our thinking determines what we select to focus on. And then we discussed how to become aware of what it is that we're thinking that's shaping our reality. And third, how do you replace any negative thoughts? And we all have them. How do you go about doing that? So before we move on to the big thought, and I'm going to say more about the big thought that I had for today and ask Christy Mueller what she thinks about the big thought, I just wanted to ask Christy if she had an example about how our thoughts really do create our reality. What we experience is determined by our thoughts, and how to go about replacing any negative thoughts. Do you have, Christy, something you can share?
Well, yeah, during the break you asked me this and I thought, oh God, I'd come up with something. And then I realized I had just gotten back from Arizona, and as I was leaving the airport, I stuffed my glasses in my suitcase. My glasses are black, and my suitcase, of course, is black. And yesterday morning I got in the car to drive and I thought, oh, I'm going to need those sunglasses. And I went to my suitcase, which hadn't been totally cleared out yet, and started going through it, and immediately went through my mind is, these are nice sunglasses, and some jerk at the airport probably stole them. You know, they went through security, they saw my sunglasses, all they had to do was reach in because I just tucked them in there. And this whole blah was going through my head about all these terrible people, you know, took my sunglasses, and you know how the world is, and you know, people aren't honest and everything else. And then I saw them. They were in my suitcase right where they should have been. And I had this awareness, oh my God, I was thinking these people were, you know, stealing my sunglasses. It seems like such a small thing. And yet, if I had thought about that even more, I bet you I wouldn't even have seen those sunglasses. Right. I would have verified once more that people are stealing things because they're bad. Right. And so I said to myself, stop that. That is not who you are, Christy. And I got in my car and I started repeating over and over again, people are really honest. People really care for one another. And I was just trying to replace all those passionate negative thoughts I'd had about these people stealing my glasses with all of these gracious gratitude thoughts. Because I don't want to go around thinking that people are trying to steal
people
things.
People are awful. People. Yeah. People are dishonest.
And you know, and it was such a small thing. I bet it occupied probably 40 seconds of my time, but it was pretty strong. And I really don't want to be thinking that way because, as you pointed out, we see what we expect to see. And I expect to see people who help one another and like each other and are working together and care for each other. That's how I choose to look at the world.
I love that. So I'm talking now with Christy Mueller, and Christy is a financial advisor with a business in Renton, Mueller & Associates. She is an extraordinary person who's got stellar integrity. I love her personally. Her phone number is 425-226-6180. That's how you can contact Christy if you'd like to experience some of the positive energy that she brings to everything and her expertise as a financial advisor. And now I'd like to talk a little bit more about my big thought for this show and get Christy's comment on my big thought. So the big thought is we must connect deeply with ourselves to feel in control and safe and not continually look outside ourselves for help and answers. So when I say we need to connect with ourselves, what does this mean? What does it really mean? There are other ways that people talk about it, and they say things like come home to yourself, find your center. These are other ways of expressing this. So first, what does this mean? This is an experience. It's not an idea. And it's very important that we all distinguish between ideas and experiences. For example, you can have the idea of water, but then when you're swimming, it's a completely different experience than just thinking about it. It's very, very difficult to explain what the feeling of liquidity is against your body. So coming home to yourself is like that. It's an experience that you have to have. It's not just something you can think about to have it really be meaningful. The second thing is that we're very focused on the outside, especially through our vision, and we're very oriented to what's out there outside of ourselves. And so we have very little experience really deeply knowing our own mind. And that's one of the things Christy and I were talking about, is it's very hard to know what you're thinking about, which is kind of crazy, but it's true. So I think that ultimately we can't find a stable feeling of comfort if we don't include in our repertoire having a way to feel connected to or rooted in an experience of our own being. And I think that's where the real answers lie, this fundamental feeling of, okay, I'm okay. That you can't really have that if you don't know how to bring your mind home, where your thinking mind is out there in the world and it's just jumping around, analyzing and strategizing and planning and all kinds of activities of the mind. It has to come home and land on your sense of being. And I've been kind of thinking about this like a helicopter. The helicopter is like this blade is whirling and it's making all this noise. And you have to bring that helicopter coming home. It has to come back. It's circling and going to land like on this landing pad on the earth. And so the helicopter circling and then starting to get closer and closer and closer to the landing pad and then finally touches down onto the landing pad. Then the blades turn off, engines turn off, and then there's quiet, like this merging of the helicopter on the landing pad. And I think our minds are like that. We have to find a way to bring our mind home and land on our being. And that experience is what I think gives us ultimate confidence, the ability to do that, the ability to bring our mind home, to land on our being and feel that merging inside. And there's many, many things people do to have that experience. Yoga, meditation, massage, Tai Chi, relaxation, prayer. There's many things people do. They're means to get to the experience of the thinking mind coming home and settling into your experience of being. So my big thought is that in the new year, we should all find and use, not just find, but use methods that allow us to experience this deep connection, that the answer's not outside of us, but the fundamental feeling of being okay and being safe is inside. So that's my big thought for the day. And Christy, do you have a brief comment about that?
Well, I was just trying to think of, for me, how I would find that. I think we all have different things that bring us quickly to that state. For me, water. So setting myself by some water. The other thing that I think for me is that I find that I need to schedule this stuff in.
Yeah.
You know, I walk around with a calendar and I live every 10 seconds by it. And so I'll schedule a half a day by the water to think.
And I think that's wonderful. I love water too. It makes my mind very calm. So I have two things to leave everybody with. This is Carol Bailey talking about happiness. And first, my guest next month is Erica Rayner Horn, who is a fascinating woman who's a meditation teacher and therapist. And she has so many interesting things to say about what we're talking about right now, which is connecting with yourself and the compassion that we need to show towards ourselves. And then secondly, I want to do a shout out to my favorite new company. I love it when I see innovative, great companies. And my favorite new company is BioWillie's Beans. It's a Seattle-based micro roaster. Their tagline is, know your roaster. They have organic, fair trade, biodiesel-powered roasting machine and biodiesel-powered delivery vehicles. You can buy BioWillie's Beans at Eltana or online. So that's my favorite new company that's bringing happiness to everybody. And I'll see you next month. Carol Bailey, about happiness on the Chat with Women Network.